What a process. I got to back up a week to tell you where this all began. If you don't think God has a sense of humor, you will by the time you're done. This is definitely a crazy week. Last week, I shared with the prayer group and with M&C that I was having some troubles. More than troubles, I was just totally wiped out, fatigued physically. Wasn't sure what was going on. Wasn't sure just exactly what the answers were. I was headed for a doctor's appointment, and I was ready to do something different because something was about to break. I was totally gone. Couldn't think straight, couldn't act straight. And if you'd have told me last week what was going to happen this week, I would have went, I quit. I want no part of this. Luckily, Lord didn't tell me that. And that's neat. Somewhere along this week, the Lord shared a title with Nathan. How Suddenly Things Change. Now, I don't think that this was the message he had prepared. In fact, I know it's not. And it's certainly not the netting of my message. But does it apply? Oh, yeah. You see, God, it was at work at this message long before I knew it, long before Nathan knew it. In fact, this message started with an email from Diane. What day was that, Diane? Thursday? Wednesday? Okay. Sent me an email saying, could use a children's message. Are you available? Well, it just so happened that the Lord had been on my heart with the children's message I shared. And as I told the kids, I do this every so often as the kids grow up. Because I enjoy this message. It's one that means a lot to me. And I gauge it how often I should do it by the kids. When the group that I've dealt with has grown up and not heard it, I know it's time to do another group. So my heart was already set to do a children's message. Diane says, Rick, I need one. Lord, that's a God thing. I went to a play last night. My daughter was in. She's not very proud of that play. I thought it was hilarious. But I enjoyed it. And one of the things they did, and I want to tell you folks, I hate it. I hate audience participation things when people do this. I sit there and when someone stands up and goes, we're going to have you all into this. And I go, well, to tell you this is not of me, I'm going to tell you this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask for you guys' participation. This is audience participation day, folks. I'm going to, throughout this sermon, tell you it's a God thing. And I want you to say with me, it's a God thing. Let's practice. You'll get better. Yes, it is a God thing. This week has been a God thing. He led Diane to call or email me. He led Nathan to the sermon title that I found so humorous this morning when I came in. He led me to that message before Diane's email. It is something God was working on, and I had no clue. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, Rick, there's some problems, and one of the things we're going to have to do is we're going to have to restrict your work schedule. I'm now on a 40-hour work schedule, something I've been praying for years. I don't have to do all that overtime. And you see, I was planning on going to Spring Body. I should have been there. I had a report to give, and I want to go, but I knew I'd be working Saturday. So I was kind of in this dilemma. But as I found out, it was. Yes, it was. God had it worked out. I didn't know how. I didn't know why. Went to Spring Body. Nathan was going. He was going to go, and we were going to have breakfast, and I was going to enjoy that immensely. Nathan calls at 9 o'clock. Now, God knew what Nathan was going to get into. Nathan didn't. He was still at 6:30 planning on breakfast because we were calling and setting up what time we were going to leave and where we were going to eat. And we had all these plans. We had plans. God had another plan because it was a God plan. Yes. Ends up Nathan isn't going to Spring Body. Nathan's sick. And Nathan's not just sick, he's ill. And at noon, I'm sitting here going, I think maybe I better call. because I think the way he sounded last night, it may be he's not going to be there Sunday morning. So I call and I talk to Chandra, and she says, he's trying, and she stressed the word trying, to keep saltines down. And I'm going, oh, Lord, no, no, no. I've got spring body. I'm not going to get out of here till 2. I got an hour drive. I still haven't got my Sunday school lesson written. I don't, and I haven't got the checkbook balanced. And, Lord, I don't want to give the day off. But God said, yeah, you can give him the day off. It'll take care of itself. Well, it won't take care of itself, but I will take care of it. And that's a... Absolutely. Went to spring body, and I'm got done with lunch, and I'm sitting here just giving Nathan the day off, and I'm going, oh, okay, panic time. Got to come up with a message. Let's see. What do I do? Oh, I've got children's message. That's right. I've got a wonderful children's message. I love it. It's got a lot of depth. And you know what? I can build off of that. I can get some scripture, and I can go from that, and we can just do that kind of thing for the sermon, and that would be terrific. So I'm sitting there contemplating the scriptures that I'm looking for. I'm thinking of a bound heart, bounded, or, you know, a captive heart. That's the words I was looking for, a captive heart. And so Wes comes back, and he thinks I'm sleeping. He goes, a little early for the nap, isn't it? And I go, no, and I explain my circumstances to him, and Wes Blanchard goes, well, you know. I said, what are some scriptures you come to when you think of a captive heart? And Wes goes, well, you know, it appears to me that I think of the Israelites when they were in captivity in Babylon, and how Daniel would pray out of his open window towards Jerusalem, that his heart was in Jerusalem yet, and yet he was captive in Babylon. Ooh, that was good. I like that. But it was totally in the wrong direction. See, I was looking at just sin and captive heart to sin, and that did not fit. And so I'm instantly trying to dismiss this and think, yeah, okay, thanks, Wes, no problem. We're going to blow that off. God says, no, listen. And have you ever had the time where God told you, shut up, listen? I hear it regularly, and I heard it yesterday. Shut up, listen. So I talked to Wes some more, and he elaborated. And it's funny because I've been listening to this radio broadcast coming home from work, and it's been on Daniel and the trouble he gets into for praying to Jerusalem 3 times a day. It got him into a fiery pit. It got him into a lion's den. And I was very much moved by these. And it's been something that God was working on. Unbeknown to me, it was a
God thing.
Absolutely. I didn't think it was something that was going to come into this message. But as I heard it, it's like, yeah, God's going that way. I'm over here and I'm taking this, but God's taking me this way. So I go home. I'm praying about it all the way, our home. I'm struggling. I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it this way because it's easier than my way. I could do this a little bit faster my way. I go home, and I have got some beautiful scripture here and beautiful things. And I do want to read one of the scriptures, just one of them. 1 Kings 8:27, and actually it's verses 29 and 30. May your eyes be open to the temple night and day, the place in which you, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer of your servant's prayer. When they pray towards this place, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is Solomon, and he is dedicating his temple. And what he's doing in this, and it's a very long prayer, and I encourage you to go to 1 Kings chapter 8 and read it. What he's encouraging us to do is saying, Lord, let your heart reside here at this temple. Let it be a place. And, wow, that's pretty cool stuff. And you know what? I've got 3 pages on that. I got stuff from rabbis about why they pray and what times and what those prayers mean. I've got quotes from... God said, no, that's not where you're going. Lord, please. I don't have a lot of time on this, and you know I like to prepare, and I like to have it all down. And God's laughing and going, yes, I know. And it's, okay, we won't go that route. So we can take care of 3 pages. It's just that fast. I'm like, okay, what in the world? Now where, Lord? Because this is what I had. This is where I was going. And then God started teaching me. And if you think I'm really a deep spiritual guy who has it all together and knows everything, because I've read through the Bible and I've got it all down, I'm a cool guy. I shared with Nathan after his message a couple weeks ago, and he says, you know, I sure hope nobody thinks I was judging them that week, because I needed that sermon more than anybody. And I know that feeling. This is that feeling. And I really admire that. The fact that I can stand up here and share with you something I just learned. And that's exactly what I learned. What I found out was I was only telling these kids half the battle, half of the story, if you will. Sin and your heart, it's there. We all know. You're all adults. You've all heard the sin, captivity, captured heart. We all know that story. What I didn't know was what happens to my heart when I get free of sin? I'm free, right? It's it. It's done. I accept salvation. I'm hope free. I am done. End of story. Going to heaven. Got out of jail free. I'm done. It's good. Right? End of story. End of sermon. Nope. God said nope. Nope, nope, nope. That's where I was wanting to go. That's what I originally planned on. It was good. It's biblical. God's going, no, not going to happen. Not today. You're going to learn something today. And I'm going, okay, what have I got to learn? Well, I think back to Paul, and this is another part of the audience participation. I'm going to be quoting scriptures. I'd like to quote them by reading them, but I don't have them because, well, God didn't give me the chance to prepare for them. And that's a... Yeah, he knew that I could just sit here and just rattle off scriptures and put you to sleep, and you would not be thinking. So as I talk about scriptures, if one is memorized by you, or if you can think of the address and look it up, and you want to read it, I want you to, because God expects us to be participants in worship. The old Quakers did not sit and listen to someone talk to them for 20 minutes and go away. They participated in the worship. And the scriptures that started coming to my mind too late to be looked up and wrote down were the scriptures of Paul throughout the New Testament. The scriptures that says, I am a bondservant to Christ. I am a slave to the church. Now, I got to thinking about that. Paul's a great guy. And so him committing himself to God so much that he considered himself a slave... no big deal, because that's Paul. He's a big guy. Not me, right? I don't have to be a slave. I don't have to be a servant. Do I? Peg's smiling. I think she's thinking maybe I should be. See, I want the deal to be, I got free of sin. And I want to go over here to God, get on God's hand, and I want to hang on his little finger. I want to be close enough that I'm free of the sin. I got my salvation. I want to go to heaven, but I'm pretty much loose and free. Yeah, I'll ask God once in a while what he wants me to do. I'll pray. I'll read my Bible. And, you know, if it fits into my schedule and I check my BlackBerry and it's open, yeah, God, we'll do that. I'll do what you tell me to do if it works, if it fits. Anybody here believe that's the way God calls me to be? But you don't believe it, but we want to live it. How many of you want to be out there on that little finger with me? We want to be free. We do not want. What God's telling me is, when he frees me from sin, I tell him what? I said, Lord, I give you my all. I put my heart in your hand. And Paul says it so much more beautifully. I become a servant of Jesus Christ. I become a slave to Jesus Christ. I willingly give up my freedom. Not like sin that captured me. Not like the Satan would do to me. I willingly put my heart in his hand and say, whatever you say, God, this is you. I will do with my heart whatever you ask me to do. The fallacy of the Christian church today is, I am a free Christian. We are not free Christians. We can become free of sin. We can escape hell. But our heart is captive. We can only choose who holds our heart. You see, if I'm on that little finger, as I think I am, I'm not in the hand of God. I'm still practicing my own self-will. I am still thinking I have control of my life. And as I and you can all attest to, when I control my life, we all know where I'm going. We all know where we're going to end up. It's going to be back here on the sin ring. It ain't going to be pretty because I got choices and I exercise those choices. My heart is going to be captive. My heart is going to be held by somebody. Your heart is captive. The question is it captive on this ring of sin, or is it captive to God's hand in his will? You know, Nathan shared something 2 weeks ago, and I was so proud of Peggy, because Peggy got up and says, anybody else feeling uncomfortable right now? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty uncomfortable. And I've talked to several hens that, yeah, we weren't the only ones. We all squirmed a little bit, and that was good. I think we need to squirm sometimes. We need to reexamine ourselves sometimes. When I was a cop, I had a captain once that said something to me. It was totally unrelated to spiritual matters. But it was so true that it had set into my soul so hard. And God has brazened it on my heart. Whatever your number one priority in life is, it will be accomplished. Whatever you set your heart to, you will get done. You see, I can tell you, as Nathan shared 2 weeks ago, I love this, I love that. My heart is with this, my heart is with that. And, we can make believe that we are there. The truth of the matter is, where is my heart captive? Where my heart is captive is where I am going to accomplish what I accomplish. It may be sin. It may be anarchy. It may be a lot of things that aren't pretty. It may be that some of those things will be of God. And if they are, I can tell where my heart is. You want to know who holds your heart? James tells you. James says, you tell me you believe? Great. No big deal. The demons believe in Jesus. That's nothing to brag about. They know Jesus exists. If you believe, your faith will be evidenced in your life. There will be evidence. There will be signs. Where your heart is, wherever your number one priority is, your heart will be producing from that. If it's captive to sin, you will be producing sin. You will be evidencing sin. If it's captive to God, you will be producing the fruits of the Spirit. I hate to tell you folks, but as I look at my life, even this last week, when this sermon's been coming together, I don't see too many fruits of the Spirit that I liked in my life. I did not sit comfortably through Nathan's sermon. 2 weeks later, I still am squirming on that. As we come into the Easter season, the Easter season is about salvation. We celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross, took upon on him our sins. Jesus Christ bore us the freedom from this. But he did not bear us the freedom to hang here or sit here. He bore us the freedom to choose to go into the hand of God. We don't have to go there. We can pretend that I want to hang out on the little finger. I can pretend I can stay close enough to God's hand that I can do it both. But the truth of the matter is, if I'm not in God's hand, I am right here. Your heart is captive. Like it or not today, your heart is being held captive by someone. It is either by your own will in the hand of God, or it is headed to or in sin. That's a hard sermon, folks. It's a hard sermon for me because, like I told you, I look at this last week and I go, how many of the fruits do I see born in my life? Am I in that hand? The beautiful thing about this week is I knew nothing about it. I made no plans. This sermon, if you call it a sermon, is totally not mine. Mine is written down here, and if you want my notes, you'll can see it's very little to do with what I just said. That being said, I feel very challenged. Not to challenge you, although I'm hoping I do. The challenge I'm feeling today is, Rick, look at your heart and ask yourself, who is holding your heart? Is it sin or is it God? And from there, we have to make a decision. Tomorrow or next week, we celebrate. We know how to get rid of that captivity to sin. It's a pretty easy process, really. I found out that the hard part of this process isn't getting free of the sin. It's saying, I will willingly put my heart in God's hand, and I will choose to be a servant of God. I will choose to give up my free will, and I'll ask God, what do I do next? And if you think that ain't scary, it is. But it's also kind of fun because I'm telling you what, this week has been fun. I feel like sitting here and going and laughing and having fun because I've watched God work in my life today and in the last week. And I did not see it coming. I did not understand it. I did not see the future. I do not know where God is taking me tomorrow. I can't even tell you whether I can truly stay in God's hand tomorrow or if I'm going to slip back into sin. I know what I desire. I know what I want to challenge you to desire. That's the question we're left with. Who will hold our heart this week? Thank you. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I truly come before you repentant. I truly am as much in need of this message as anyone, anywhere. I truly have not submitted myself as I know I should have. But Lord, I know you are the God of not only the second chance, but of the many chances of salvation, that you've given us the opportunity to come before you every time we blow it. All we have to do is admit to it and come to you for forgiveness. Lord, let us come before you now as we prepare for Easter, as we celebrate your rising from the dead that gives us that freedom. Let us truly take that sacrifice seriously. Let us truly not place you in that position again of having to go there again and again and again so that I may practice my free will. Bless us, Lord, as we go into our monthly meeting. Guide and direct our discussion. Lead us. And Lord, most of all, be Lord of us this week. In Jesus' name.